Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and it's my pleasure to be with you. It's my joy to see those various colors of shirts sprinkling throughout the sanctuary there. I'm glad you could all wear your spirit wear with us as we move towards our 200th anniversary celebration. I wanted to offer a quick word of reminder. After service today, I'm asking for a little help. And I only need 5 minutes from you. But after service, if we can all gather down front here, we're going to gather up front here. Channel 7 Detroit has a special program they're doing called Good Morning Detroit. And they're asking organizations to record just a brief video saying, Good Morning Detroit. And so we thought it'd be a great way to get ourselves recognized in the community. We're going to celebrate that we're doing our 200th. So if you can come down front, we're going to get you lined up. It'll take 10 seconds. I have a little blurb I'm supposed to say, and then we all say, Good Morning Detroit. You guys got your line? Everyone got it? All right. But if you can help me out, it'll take just a minute after service. We'll get you lined up. We'll kind of fill up the front area up here as best we can. We'll get that video. Kids, we're going to invite them to come back after Odyssey to come back and join us. Then you can go down and get your coffee and treats, all right? You guys can help me out? All right, thank you. And then we got a couple other things. We are also hanging the greens. We see some greens that are begun to be hung. We're going to be getting our decorations out after service, so if you can stick around and help, we have some of those things to do. If you have new ideas of things to do, that's great, too. You can talk to Judy. That's her problem. I mean, she's the one who handles all that. But if you want to help out, we'd love to have many hands make light work. We appreciate it, so you can help us out with that. Also, after service, we got a lot going on. After service, the craft show was yesterday. Well, and the ladies have all their stuff set up, so they'll be downstairs in the craft room. If you want to stop in, if you want to do a little early Christmas shopping, and then if you continue on down into the basement, the rummage sale is set up, and they'll be down there selling items as well. So go on and get an early start on some of that Christmas shopping. There's some great things down there. We had a great day of the craft show yesterday in the rummage sale. Thank you to everyone who helped with the setup, the serving, the cleanup, all of that. It was a great day, so we thank you for that. Also coming up on December 1st, we have our yearly Advent Tea that will be taking place. There's a sign-up sheet down in Fellowship Hall if you want to join them for that. That's always a great day to get together and just celebrate the season. And talked about Good Morning Detroit. My last one that I want to make sure I shared with you guys. As we've been praying for and been made aware of, in the coming, we're under a month now, aren't we, Steve? We're just a couple weeks away. Steve is going to be getting a kidney transplant from his wife, Nancy. That will be taking place on December 7th, which we still just celebrate the miracle that that is. But as a part of that, they're going to need a little bit of help with some things, especially trips to the hospital in the immediate aftermath. Nancy won't be able to drive herself as she'll be recovering. And Steve will need to go with some regularity to the hospital. We're trying to put together a list of people who might be able to help them drive. So if you're interested, I can get you some details, but it will entail picking Steve up from his house, trip to the hospital in Royal Oak, getting Steve home, some of that. Our hope is to create a text message thread that when there's a day that's needed, we can just send it out and say, hey, can someone help on December 9th? And then people can reply to myself and to Steve to let them know that they have drivers. If you're interested or able to help out with that, we're not asking you to commit to days and days of driving. We just want to have people who are available that might be able to help. So if you're able, let me know, let Steve or Shelly know in the office, and we'll get you on that list. And we're going to support the donkeys. We're going to pray for the donkeys. We're going to do everything we can to help them through this time as we are thankful for their presence with us and for all they do. So we're going to be praying for you guys. And then the last thing I have to share is on Monday over at St. John's Lutheran Service, St. John's Lutheran Church, we're going to again have a Thanksgiving community service. We joined with them last year to do this. It was a great evening of fellowship, getting together with some other area churches, and also celebrating and being thankful to our Lord. So if you would like to join us, it will be at 7 o'clock over there at St. John's. It's just off of Benjamin Street. If you need help finding there, go ahead and let me know. And I know I offered it to our choir, but they're going to do a community choir again. If you want to sing along, if you want to sing during that service, they're going to meet at 6 o'clock before the service and just run through the couple of numbers that they're going to be singing. So I hope you can join us for that as we celebrate this season. Whew! I need a break. All right. Those are the announcements I have, those things to share. So much going on, so many wonderful things that we're a part of, and we're thankful for that. But now I'm going to invite you to get your voices into the mix, and we're going to stand and sing our opening hymn. So I invite you to stand as you're able and join me for singing hymn number 413, A Charge to Keep I Have, hymn number 413.
Thank you.
may please be seated, because at this time I'm going to invite our bell choir, as they're with us today, to come forward, and they're going to be playing a number for us. They're going to be playing Simple Gifts. Thank you, Bell Choir. Will you all join me for a word of opening prayer? God, we delight in your creation. We thank you for soft breezes, for crisp apples, for the changing of the seasons that reminds us of your provision, reminds us of your presence. God, we delight in our connectedness. We thank you for friends who check in, for church family who lift one another up, who show up in those good times and in those challenging ones. God, we delight in your peace that dwells among us. We give thanks for neighbors who offer help in times of trouble, gentleness in the midst of pain, and acts of kindness during seasons of struggle. Let us come together in your presence with thanksgiving and rejoicing as together we worship you, O God. Amen. Our first scripture reading for today is coming from the Psalms. It's Psalm 90. We'll hear verses 1 through 8, and then verse 12. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, "Turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart. This ends our first reading for this morning. And at this time, I get to welcome our singing choir that is with us today. We are glad to have them, and they'll be singing, "We Praise You, O God, our Redeemer." Time, I'd like to invite our children, the students and youth who are with us, that'd like to come forward to join me for our time with children on the steps. Come on up, guys. Good to see you. How are you doing this morning, boys and girls? Oh, my. I didn't hear much of anything. Good. Good. Church, can we help them out? How are you doing this morning, boys and girls? Good. There we go. There's a little energy, a little life. It's a good day. We're in church. It's a good day to be together. And today, especially, actually, I know it's a really good day to be together because I know that there's a special little girl who's sitting next to me, who might be celebrating her 7th birthday today, folks. And we know, when it's a birthday, We got to sing to Margaret. So I have a question. When we just sang, when we did that, how did that make you feel?
Happy.
Good. That's the point. That's why we do it, right? That's why we take time to celebrate birthdays and special occasions. And today was your birthday, and it made you happy. What did it do? It put a smile on your face as we started singing. Everyone saw that smile, right? We saw that smile on her face. And it kind of got me thinking because, you know, there's all the special days we celebrate. We celebrate special days in the church sometimes, too. And even every Sunday is a special day to come to church because you guys know why we come here. What do we do here every Sunday? Why are we in this room right now?
We celebrate Jesus.
We celebrate Jesus. You are right, Cecil. We celebrate Jesus. We come to worship God, to give thanks to God. And as I was thinking about it, you know, I looked over and I saw Margaret smile. But then it made me think, I bet every Sunday when we get together, when people get together all over the world, it makes God smile that we're here. It makes God feel good that we're here to give thanks to God because we're so thankful for God. We're thankful for Jesus and everything they've done for us, all the blessings they've put in our lives. So I just want you guys to remember that when we have special days to celebrate, that's a great thing. And when we have days to celebrate God, that's a great thing too. So we always want to take advantage of those opportunities, those chances to worship God. Lukey's enjoying it all too. Hey, there's no wrong way to celebrate and worship God, Lukey. I won't say anything. So I'm thankful you guys are here. I'm thankful we can get together. I'm thankful we can celebrate Margaret. We can celebrate each and every one of you on your special days, those special times. And we can also celebrate God. We can celebrate Jesus and what they do for us. So I'm going to say a prayer. And I know Mrs. Hill, I think, has you back there today with a fun lesson. But remember, after service, I know the treats are downstairs. I know the good stuff's downstairs. But after service, if you guys can come back in and help us, we're going to record a quick video. And I'd love for you guys to be a part of it. So after Odyssey's over, I'm going to have you guys come back in here, okay? All right. So we're going to pray. Let's say a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each of these boys and girls, for the smiles we see on their faces, their beautiful faces. Lord, we know it brings you joy to see us happy. And Lord, we hope we can continue to bring joy to you through our times of worship, through our times that we're together, through the things we do to bring honor and glory to you. Because Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, so many blessings you've poured into our lives. And we are thankful for them, and we offer this prayer today, as always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys for coming up. You're welcome to head back to class there, and we'll see you afterwards, all right? Whoops. You all right? Okay. We do have much to celebrate, much to be thankful for. I highlighted at the beginning just a little bit that our craft show and rummage sale was yesterday, and it was a great day. That parking lot had cars coming and going all day. There was a constant line of people through. And along with that, though, there were so many people who were here to help. And I just wanted to offer another word of thanks to everyone who made that possible, to the women's group for their leadership of that, and everyone who participates and makes it possible. The people who brought the stuff for the rummage sale, even, as we got to sort through it and pick a few treasures of our own, maybe. But and then to have the sale, to open it to the community, it was a great day. So we offer our thanks. I also wanted to recognize the flowers that are with us this morning. They were given in honor of Harold and Irene Ricketts by Jen, by their daughter. So we celebrate that. We celebrate that with Jen, as she remembers them. And I have a couple of prayer requests that were given to me here, or that we wanted to lift up. The first being from Marilyn Bracey. We've been praying for some time here for her niece, Nancy Mangosh. And Nancy did get to go home to be with the Lord this week. She has ended her earthly battle with cancer with that fight, but she is home with Jesus. And for that, we're thankful. But we want to continue to lift up Marilyn and the rest of the family as they mourn their loss and as they have their services to celebrate her. So we keep the family in our prayers. And also, it was on the prayer chain, and I just wanted to offer a little update. Larry is with us. He was in the hospital this week. He had to go in for his first round of treatment for his battle with cancer as well. And we're glad Larry's with us. I was able to speak with him. He said things went well, and he was doing good. We're glad he's with us. We're going to continue to keep Larry in our prayers as he continues those treatments going forward. So we're going to keep him strong as well. So you're welcome, Larry. Those are the ones that I had shared with me prior to service. We have the microphones here with us. If you have others that you'd like to share, please feel free to raise a hand, and we'll be glad to bring a microphone to you here this morning.
I'd like to request some prayers for my sister-in-law, Cheryl Duhadway. She's got Parkinson's. She's in MediLodge in Richmond, and they have placed her on hospice care now. Thank you.
Absolutely. Prayers for Maxine's sister, Cheryl, who has Parkinson's and is on hospice care now. We pray for comfort for her in the days ahead and for the family as they have time with her. Thank you, Maxine.
My family had an awful shock this week when they discovered that my nephew, 52 years old, had died, and they didn't know why. But the people he works with sent the police, and they broke in his house and found him dead in bed. He'd had a heart attack at 52. He was my sister's adopted son.
What's the name?
Steve Miller.
Steve Miller. We keep Steve Miller's family and our prayers for all of his loved ones with his sudden and tragic passing here. We keep our prayers with you and with the family. Artith, thank you.
If we could keep my niece's husband, Vincent, in your prayers. He is 30 years old. They are in Arizona, and he is in the stages of being diagnosed with which type of cancer and how it's affecting him and what they're going to do. And they don't have all the answers yet. It's really new, but it seems to be aggressive. So if you could keep Vincent in your prayers, please.
Prayers for Vincent, Shelly's niece's husband, in our prayers in the days ahead as he goes for more testing and finds out what treatment options there are. Thank you, Shelly. Are there any others this morning that we'd like to lift up?
Continued prayer for Beth.
Continue to keep Beth in our prayers. Thank you, Nathan. Absolutely. Well, I'll invite us then to bring these that we've heard, the joys that we celebrate, of course, as well as those needs that have been identified, those who are in need of an extra measure of prayer, those who are dealing with loss and suffering. We lift them up in our prayers. We take this time to pray to God in silent prayer. Faithful God, we confess we do not always give attention to the things that are of you. We listen to rumors and gossip instead of what is true and honorable. We do not hold fast to justice. We do not train our hearts on what is pure and pleasing to you. In our words and in our deeds, we find ourselves straying from all that is commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. We do not attend to all that we have received and learned of the good news. And in doing so, we do not live at peace with you or with our neighbors. Forgive us, we pray, Almighty Father. Free us to live as your grateful people in action, in word, and deed. Help us to once again receive your good news today. You, Holy God, you are creator of the universe, of all things. Yet you pay attention to us when we pray. You receive our confessions, and it is you that saves us by your grace. May your peace, O God, guard us in mind and in heart. May it lead us forward to live as your children. Continue to reach out to those who are hurt and suffering, those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. We heard names, situations lifted up here this morning. We pray for them, as well as all those that go unspoken in this time, ones that are not lifted up with our words, but are lifted up in our minds, lifted to you. You know the needs before we even ask. For that and so many other things, we offer our thanks and praise. That all thanks be to you, God Almighty. As we pray these things, we now join our voices together to pray the prayer Jesus taught us long ago, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Continue our worship. I'll invite you to again stand with me as you're able. We'll sing hymn number 92, For the Beauty of the Earth. We're going to sing verses 1, then 4, 5, and 6. Hymn number 92. Najjar, we take this moment, we take time each Sunday to give thanks, to recognize the many blessings that have been poured out in our lives, the many ways we are able to be a blessing to others with generous hearts. I am thankful to this church, to this congregation, to all of you people, because that's what makes up the church. It takes all of us being the church, doing those things I had to list, all those activities, all the things that took place yesterday. It's possible because of people, because there's so many grateful, thankful people in our midst. And I am thankful for all of you. Thankful for our continued giving that comes to the church, that allows us to be in mission and ministry around the world. I remind you, we have our offering box that is behind the organ. You can leave an offering in there here this morning. We also have our online giving available at romeoumc.com if you wish to give in that way. Let us take just a moment, though, to pause and to give thanks for our collection this morning. Lord of peace, Lord of serenity, receives the gifts that we bring this day as we present them in thankfulness and joy. We bring ourselves, Lord, as our offering, that in living lives of truth and justice, honor and excellence, we might please you and be worthy of your never-failing love and presence with us. As we are grateful that Christ and the Holy Spirit would dwell in us, we pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Our second scripture reading for this morning is coming to us from Philippians. It's chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This, my friends, is the word of God. It is for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So last Sunday, we started this year's stewardship campaign, or as I suggested, maybe we should be calling it our generosity campaign here at the church. We looked at Psalm 100 and what it means to enter the Lord's gates, to offer him a hymn of grateful praise. We also took a moment to reflect on our call to love and serve one another and to serve all the earth. And next Sunday, we're going to be taking a moment to dedicate our pledge cards. The letters and cards went out this week. They should be in your mailboxes, hopefully here this week. If not, we have extra, of course. But if you have those and you want to bring them back, we have a box on the organ that is collecting them. You can bring those pledge cards back, or you can send them back. However you want to get them to us, we'll take them. And next Sunday, we'll be taking a moment to commit those pledge cards, to commit them to the service that they're intended for, serving the Lord, bringing the Lord's message to more and more people, to serving him. But before we get to that dedication next week, I wanted to take just a minute today, take a moment for us to look at and recognize how those pledges, how those offerings are used, the difference they make around the world. And we often talk about the ministries that are close to home, the ones that we can readily touch and see and impact, the His Tables, the Samaritan House, the Turning Point, a lot of those ministries and missions that we support, and those are all wonderful things. Do not hear this wrong. I love those. I love the ways we're able to help in the greater Romeo community. But today I actually wanted to look just a little further out, a little further outside of Romeo, at the ways we're able to make a difference. And to do so, I wanted to start with an encounter that I read about. And I'd actually heard the story shared one time, and then I came across it in a writing this week. It's not my story. It was shared by another member of the clergy. But as it was shared, they told of it was, the setting was one of those late nights in a college dorm room. One of those nights when students are gathered together and they're just talking. The subject can be wide-ranging. It can go from the serious conversations to the very light and fluffy conversations, they said. And as he talked about it, he said that the conversation had done all those things over the course of the evening. But it was during that conversation that one of the friends then turned and said to the group, "If you're a Christian, should it show? You're a Christian, should it show?" The others had a slightly puzzled look and looked at him and said, "Well, what do you mean by should it show?" So he reframed the question and asked, "You know, should people be able to tell by looking at you that you're a Christian? If you're a Christian, should it show?" This, of course, got a slight chuckle from those gathered in that room. They jokingly asked, "Well, what do you mean? Are we supposed to go around wearing name tags that say, 'Hi, I'm Devin and I'm a Christian'? Is that what we should be doing?" And the question originally shook his head and said, no, that's not what I mean." He was quickly interrupted by another laughing friend who said, "Maybe we should wear prayer shawls or caps or special red shoes that say we're Christian. Is that what you mean?" By this point, the question originator was getting slightly annoyed with his friends. Our friends can do that to us, can't they? But he shook his head again and said, "No, special shoes, that's not what I mean at all. I mean, should it show? Should it show?" Such a simple question, but should it show? As the person who shared the story said, he said, "Unfortunately, we didn't solve that mystery in that dorm room that night. They didn't have an answer to that question. But it did get me thinking this week. Should it? Should it show? Should people be able to tell by looking at you that you're a Christian? Should our faith show? Should a passerby be able to look at us and know that we are followers of Jesus Christ?" On one hand, maybe that's slightly silly to suggest, because only God is able to see into our hearts, to see what is true, to see what's a facade. That's why Jesus warns us over and over again about being judgmental, about judging others. We're so quick to decide who's in and who's out. We often make mistakes. We can't see a person's heart. We don't know the core beliefs, the defining experiences that have shaped the person that we're attempting to judge. So at the end of the day, that's a task better left to God, to be sure. We're better off to stick to the business of invitation, inclusion, and instruction. We're better off to learn and grow and act as if everyone is welcome, because at the end of the day, I think Jesus has told us, everyone is welcome to come to him. But if on that one hand that's the case, that still leaves me with the other hand. And that question, should it show? When it comes down to it, following Jesus, having faith, it's more than just a head thing, right? It's not something we just do with our minds. It's in our hearts. It's in our souls. It's in our very beings if we're a follower of Christ. Faith is a way of living, a way of being in this world. So maybe that original question isn't so out of place as it originally sounded. Should it show? Yes, it should show, shouldn't it? Our faith should be shown in what we do and what we say. It should be shown in the choices we make and in the priorities we set with our lives. It may not be as easy as giving someone a once-over and looking at them and being able to identify that they're a Christian. Maybe that's a little far-fetched. But we shouldn't have to look that far, should we? We shouldn't have to look that hard to identify it. And I think the same should be said about any group of people. It should be said about individuals, perhaps, but any group of people, any group of Christians as they come together, whether it be a church directly, a group of churches, or another nonprofit that claims Christian roots. Do their actions align with their proclamations? Do they live what they speak? If someone who had never set foot in our church before came here today, if they were visiting today, what would they think? Would it show? Would they know who it is we love, who it is we serve? Would they see those things that Paul spoke about, that Paul listed in our scripture, the one that we read from Philippians just a few moments ago? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Does it show? Do those things live within these walls? Or more importantly, do those things flow out our doors and into the world? I would sure like to think so. I see the light of Christ shining in so many ways, in so many people that I'm looking at even right now. I see those things that are true and honorable and just and pure and pleasing and commendable. I see excellence on display. And we all know the one we come to worship and praise each and every Sunday. I really do believe that if someone were here to take a look at this church, its ministries, its people, they would know that we are Christians. They would know that we are Christians by our love. It's an awesome gift that we have to give to the world. But here's the thing. Here's the point I'm making today. For all that we do, for all the efforts that this group of people that I'm looking at, and those who aren't with us at this moment, for all that we do and all the efforts we make, those who call Romeo UMC, we make a difference. But there is so much more that we cannot possibly hope to do. So many that we cannot help. So much hurt and brokenness in this world that we could never hope to reach on our own. But that doesn't mean we're going to stop trying. And it's for that reason that I am proud. Proud to be part of something bigger than myself, bigger than our church. Because it's throughout our connection to the United Methodist Church that we are able to reach those places that we would never dream of reaching on our own, never be able to reach on our own. One of the ways we do that through the United Methodist Church is through our program that we call Ministry Sharers. If you've been around for a while, you might remember it under the name of Apportionments. It's money that every local church, every local congregation pays into the greater church, to our district and to our state, to our general conference, the United Methodist Church as a whole. And I could get up here for a whole Sunday morning. I could get up here for several whole Sunday mornings and talk to you about ministry shares and what it looks like, where the money goes, who decides, how that all works, the system and how it functions. If you have those questions, I'm happy to talk about it. You can come see me any week in my office. I'm happy to share. But I don't want to do that today. Instead, today I want to share. I want to share something that took place just a week or so ago. In a vote at the Finance Committee, we were able to vote to approve that we will be paying our ministry shares in 100% full this year. Amen. It is a blessing, yes. Barring an unforeseen circumstance that's well beyond our control, we will meet our obligation to cover our portion, our cost, our part of those ministries, those missions that are supported around the world. And across our state, there's somewhere in the vicinity of $14 million that will be collected through the Ministry Shares program this year in our state. And of those gifts, over 75%, actually almost 80% now, goes to support connectional ministry and mission around the world, programs that make a difference. The programs are far-ranging. They touch on every group of people who call Michigan home. They extend so far beyond the borders of the Mitten State that they really go around the world. And it's all made possible. It's all a part of our connection of the United Methodist Church. And the current number I found as I went looking this week is that there are 830 United Methodist churches across Michigan. 830 other groups of people looking to make a difference in the same way we do. But as I found that number, I then found another number as well this week. There are 830 United Methodist congregations. And if you had to venture a guess this morning, how many McDonald's stores would you think there are across our state? How many do you think? You don't have to go far to find a set of golden arches in town, do you? Would it be more or less than 830? What do you think? 700? More? Well, the fact of the matter is, that currently in Michigan, according to McDonald's website, there are 545 McDonald's locations in the state of Michigan. 545 McDonald's and 830 United Methodist churches. But here's my point. You see those golden arches everywhere. You see them without fail, right? But that means that our churches are everywhere as well, throughout our state. We are not a small group of people. We are a force. We are Christians looking to make a difference. And we make a difference because we keep our focus on the one thing that matters, fulfilling that commission given to us to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. In the United Methodist Church, we have no shortage of materials. We can find things to talk about how we do things, why we do things, where we do things, all those type of things. We have lots of those materials. And I was reviewing one of them this week, and the one I was reviewing is titled, Why We Give. And I thought about trying to summarize it, trying to make it some bullet points, but my attempts to do that didn't do it justice. So I decided I'm just going to share this section of it with you here this morning. This section is titled, We Give Because Together We Can Do What No One Individual or Congregation Can Do Separately. What if it were up to you alone to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to help form new churches among believers within the countries of the former Soviet Union? What if you alone had the responsibility to address in Christ's name the causes and effects of malaria throughout Africa? What if you alone were expected to ensure higher quality education was funded and available to Christians in the United States and throughout much of the world? What if you alone were expected to develop and provide resources for a wide range of individuals and congregational needs? What if you alone were expected to arrange for the pensions of retired pastors and bishops who have given much of their lives to serve Christ and His church? What if you alone were expected to do these things and much more all at the same time? You could not do it. These efforts would be impossible for any single individual or congregation even to accomplish alone. However, as we give to the various offerings and apportionments of the United Methodist Church, we can share our resources to accomplish these otherwise impossible ministries and missions and so much more. United Methodists find strength and new possibilities in our connection. We do mission and ministry best when we do it together. We give to make this happen. And then at the close of the section, it asks a very simple question. It's only four words long. It's on the screens behind me. It reads, why do you give? Why do you give? Have you ever stopped to ask yourself that question? Why do you give? Is it a learned behavior? Is it something we saw our parents do, so it's something we continue to do now, we think we're supposed to? Is it because it's expected of you, because you've heard that sermon preached, you maybe read it in Leviticus or Numbers where it says to give 10% to God, we're told to do it? Is it because everyone else was putting their envelopes in the box, so I figured I better put mine in too? I didn't want to miss out on the fun of using the offering box. It is fun. Perhaps all those responses seem a bit flippant. But if it isn't those things, then what is it? I think maybe it goes back to that question that was asked in that college dorm room, the one we talked about just a little bit ago. Should it show? If we are Christians, should it show? Perhaps our giving, our support of mission and ministry, our willingness to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, it is a part of the answer to that question. Because while we may not be wearing a name tag or a prayer shawl, one that says we are special, it may not be something we can physically see, we can still show the world who we are. We can show the world whose we are. Our faith, our place as God's beloved, it shapes who we are. It can't help but leak out of us as we engage with others. It is present in everything that we do. It is in who we are. It's in our attitudes that we present. It is the face that we show to the world. It shows, and it makes a difference. All of you as individuals make a difference. All of us as God's church make a difference. Here locally, across our state, across our country, and around the world, it makes a difference. All of us together make a difference, and it shows. So my prayer, my hope, that we continue to show the world who we are. Let us leave no doubt about it. Let us leave them with no question that has to be asked, that they will know who we are. In everything that we do, let it be with a generous heart. As we give thanks, as we give our praise to the one who gave all thanks, honor, and glory be to God now and forever. Amen.
Let's all stand for our last praise song of your great things.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, O God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, O God. You have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. O hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, O God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God. Unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, O God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, O God. You have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great things.
Amen.
May God's peace follow you wherever you go, guiding and guarding you that you may live in joy and thanksgiving with God, self, neighbor, and all creation. Go with God's blessing today. Amen. If you'd like to help, please come down and join us up front. No, everyone, anyone. Here you go, guys. Right down in front of the. Everett, Nettie, please. Right down in front. Stop. Take it down in front. No, in front of the rail. in front of the rail. Yep. Careful, careful. Grab that end of it. Here. Yep. Eddie, come to Everett. You got to stand this side then. Eddie, go that way. There you go.